Welcome back to Catholic Connection. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo here filling in for Teresa Tomeo. She'll be back tomorrow. Julia, you have your regular host. It's been a pleasure being with us, with all of you, actually. It's been great. Now with us is Joan Lewis, host of the Vatican Insider and Joan's Rome. And so a couple things going on there, Joan in Rome. What's going on with the Korea summit and your take on Trump and his press conference and his command and his presidential attitude and what happened with Kim Jong-un?
Yeah, the main report on events in Korea on the summit, of course, the main reports by Vatican media were yesterday, and with comments by the Apostolic Nuncio to Korea, who's Archbishop Alfred Schwereb, who for many years was a private secretary to Benedict, among others, and then to Pope Francis, and he had other missions in the Vatican, other duties before being named a nuncio. So he called Tuesday's summit truly historic between President Trump and the North Korean leader, and he said the church is, quote, full of hope and confidence, but he warned, of course, we're still at the beginning of a long process. Mm-hmm. So he was actually speaking from Seoul in an interview with Vatican News, and he said the Korean people and the local church had been anxiously awaiting, quote, these truly historic events. Mm-hmm. And he said the summit marked an important page at the beginning of a long and arduous road towards peace. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he said, we are hopeful because this beginning was very positive, very good, and we've moved from rhetoric and words like fire and fury and the complete devastation of North Korea to much more conciliatory words that speak about peace. So Archbishop Schwab said the church in Korea is living these events with great faith, and he described how the cathedral Catholic school, the Catholic cathedral in Seoul, had been holding special prayers for peace and reconciliation every Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And then the bishops of Korea have proposed a novena, which I'll be telling you about in a minute. And so in the wake of this summit, the archbishop said the church prays for the evangelization of North Korea.
Yeah.
Quote, the Holy See wishes to offer its support to any initiative in favor of dialogue and reconciliation, and also take advantage of this to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to North Korea. So that's the most that has been said. I didn't know if today at the general audience the Holy Father would would mention this often at the end of the general audience catechesis. He might bring up a special mention of a special event or a plea or visits of an earthquake or hurricane or something like that, but I guess pretty much that Archbishop Schwereb said it best. And I have to point something out that I did not notice in my own blog yesterday. The Vatican News misspelled the nuncio's name. He's from Malta. It's Xuereb. They spelled it, and I did on my blog, and we'll correct that today. Mm-hmm. They spelled it Zuereb. Somebody has to get on top of that, and I will correct my own blog. And then about the Catholic Church in Korea, they have proposed a novena from June 17th to June 25th. A novena for prayer and reconciliation on the Korean Peninsula. Mm-hmm. And the news story about that noted, of course, what I've just said, the archbishop's words, the agreement signed by the two leaders. And so the Catholic bishops of Korea have indicated a different prayer intention for each day. And here's what they are. For healing following the separation of the Korean people, mm-hmm. for families who have been separated by the Korean War, mm-hmm. for the brothers and sisters who live in the North, mm-hmm. for refugees from the North who currently live in the South.
Mm-hmm.
Another topic of prayer intention for politicians of the North and the South, mm-hmm. for the evangelization of the North, for the promotion of and exchange of dialogue between North and South, for true reconciliation between the nations, and lastly, for peaceful reunification of the peninsula, because we know the end of the war between the two was not part of the official agreement and announcement yesterday in Korea, but it is such a massively important event for the world, and I think anybody I heard and was riveted by the entire press conference of President Trump. The agreement was signed. It was 3 a.m. in Italy, so I didn't see any of that. But his press conference was certainly by a commander-in-chief and covered every single topic you could imagine. It was riveting if any of our, if you and or any of our, you know, listeners were able to see it. So all we can do is pray, right, that
this
very historical event proves to be what the two leaders have said it will be.
And but it's still a long road ahead. I mean, you're dealing with...
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, you have to be realistic about the whole thing. It's not, you know, a drug addict doesn't become the perfect person never again touching drugs in 24 hours. So something this huge, the reputation, obviously, of the leader of North Korea, he needs a lot of...
prayer.
You know, who knows? He may have just said to himself, wait a minute, I actually have a chance to go down in the history books, not as a murderer, not as a despot. I have the chance to go around as a person who's turned his life around, who wants to turn his country around, and go down in the history books as someone who's done the right thing. So if that's what he thought and his reason for agreeing to this, and if he agrees to all of the parts of the agreement signed, you know, the denuclearization, et cetera, then hopefully this first of many steps will also be the best of many steps.
Yeah.
And, you know, think back to it. I'm talking a lot of decades now, but, you know, if somebody had said to you or me or any of our listeners in March of 89 that by November the wall in Berlin would have come down, there would no longer be East and West Germany. They reunified, of course, in 1991. But, I mean, just 6 months earlier, nobody would have given that part of the world a chance. It still would have been the Russians versus the U.S. It would have been the wall. And so leaders, there was a courageous leader. His name was Gorbachev. He met with another courageous leader, you know, called Reagan. The wall came down. So I like to look at the wonderful history made by a president who said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear this wall down. I like to look at that as the possible model for what could happen in Korea. So I'm sure that prayers were intensified all around the world, including the Vatican.
And,
but
and need to be continued.
It's a big day. But there's another big piece of news tomorrow on an entirely different
Well, we're going to get that news. We got to take a break, though, Joan. Let's get that news. Let's take a break, and we'll come back with that news. We're back here on Catholic Connection talking with Joan Lewis from the Vatican. We were talking about the Korean summit with President Trump and how that went and what does that mean. And obviously, it's still a long roll. It's all hopeful, and it's all wonderful news, and we all continue to pray as we're still dealing with a dictatorship, but it's all good news. And but more news, what's going on tomorrow, Joan?
Well, this is so interesting. It occurred last August. I don't know how many of our listeners or if you remember that American investigators from the Homeland Security Investigation, they tracked down, and this was all a big news story last August, a 500-year-old copy of a letter written by Christopher Columbus describing his first voyage to the New World. Mm-hmm. Now, this had been stolen from the Vatican, originally presented to the Vatican in 1921. Mm-hmm. It was stolen from the Vatican and replaced with a forgery. That part of the mystery apparently has never been solved.
Yeah.
It was discovered in a private collection, et cetera, et cetera. Well, tomorrow morning, our U.S. ambassador to the Holy See, Callista Gingrich, is going to return that recovered copy of a letter by Columbus to its rightful home at the Vatican Library. So that's a ceremony that will take place tomorrow at 11. I've asked for credentials to get into that, but I think right now it's a very small group of media they're accepting. So it will surely be TV and photographers over, you know, anybody else.
Where's that letter been sent? Like, where has it been in the all these years?
Oh, that's what I was just going to tell you. In this private collection it was. So anyway, the ambassador will be with representatives of the Homeland Security and Homeland Security Investigations, and they will present it to the Vatican's archivist and librarian and the library's prefect. So
wow.
This originally, the letter was an account of Columbus's discovery of America, written in 1493, obviously to King Ferdinand, Queen Isabella.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the text was translated into Latin, copies were distributed around Europe, and the Vatican Library received one of these, but only in 1921. It was part of the De Rossi collection, somebody here in Italy, of rare books and manuscripts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in 2011, so recently, a Homeland Security Investigations was contacted by a rare book and manuscript expert who thought the letter in the Vatican was a forgery. They checked it out, and sure enough, it was a forgery. But what they were able to discover, the agents traced the letter to a Mr. Robert Parsons from Atlanta. He had purchased it in all good faith from a rare book dealer in New York in 2004, unaware it had been stolen from the Vatican. So presented with the evidence, his widow, because he died in 2014, his widow agreed to voluntarily relinquish and abandon all rights, title, et cetera, et cetera, so that it could be returned to the Vatican. And the thing is, in all good faith, Mr. Parsons paid $875,000 for that. So,
wow.
I do believe Mrs. Parsons has also said she hates to give up the jewel of the collection, but she knows she's doing the right thing. Her husband would have done that had he known this was the real copy. But it's so interesting because, Vanessa, the letter describes lands, this is America now, with large flowing rivers and, quote, trees of endless varieties and of timid natives, quote, who are so unsuspicious and so generous with what they possess that no one who had not seen it would believe it. So just some of the things, I imagine, maybe a little bit more will come out tomorrow, or maybe somebody in the meantime will have done a translation of the letter. I've seen the photocopy, but the handwriting is not that easy. Well, and it's, you know, what I've seen a copy of is the Latin, so...
you saw the Latin copy? Okay.
I can't read. So an amazing story. I'm delighted.
That is exciting.
My friend, the ambassador. I'm delighted for the Vatican Library, obviously, this reacquired possession. So should be a thrilling morning for everyone, for sure. And I just feel sorry for the Parsons family, obviously, when you think you buy something in good faith, and it turns out that, in this case, what they paid a lot of money for was not a forgery. You know, it was the real thing. So,
Do they know when the letter was stolen? Yeah, do they know when the letter was stolen?
Well, they don't know how the... You know, I remember this story in 2011. I remember this coming out in the Vatican. Somebody was in the Vatican Library, was doing research, and when you are given certain volumes to look at, only a few people are allowed to see certain volumes, and you wear gloves, and you don't bring in pens or pencils and things like that.
Oh.
But somebody did notice that a page, it had been like... with a razor blade or something, had been taken out. I do remember that story happening. So here we are 7 years later, and the letter has been found and will be given back to its rightful owner. So
you may or may not be there, though, tomorrow, Joan, in the press room?
No, I haven't gotten any email credentials. So,
okay.
I mean, I haven't gotten an answer. Yes, your credentials will be there at 10 o'clock. But, you know, it's a big story. And obviously it involves the ambassador, so that will be a big thing, too. Maybe I should call her tonight and say, hey, can I come over with you in the car?
That's a historic moment.
For like 10 years.
Yeah.
We've known each other for 10 years. So if protocol allowed it, you know, we're friends. I could call just joshingly, but go to call would probably not have that on their agenda for tomorrow.
Yeah.
The Jones.
Are you going to write about it regardless? Are you going to write a blog about it regardless?
Yeah. No, I'm going to post what I know so far. Is the
we got 30 seconds left
from
here
from the embassy?
Yeah.
So about 5 minutes after we hang up, I will be posting that on my blog and Facebook.
Yeah, well, that's great. Yeah. Joan Lewis from the Vatican, thank you so much for the update and being with us here on Catholic Connection. And she'll read about what she finds out in her blog. Thank you so much for having me host